Thanks, Sally. Thanks, Lindsay. Shall we pray? Father God, thank you. Thank you for these stories. Help us to understand what you want to say to us today. Amen. Amen. Please do take your seats. Mums pour out themselves. In fact, it was an expression that James used this morning when we were praying. Mums pour out themselves for us. Even if our own experience of mothers hasn't been so comfortable or so perfect or so ideal, we know that that's what mums should do. They should kind of pour themselves out. They sacrifice themselves, not least through childbirth, let's not go there, but actually through the experience of bringing up a child. And so it's quite right and appropriate that we celebrate mothers on a day like today. Of course, this day is officially Mothering Sunday. That's where it kind of started and began. And Mothering Sunday is about the church, actually, about the role of the church and the sense in which, a bit like Mary and Joseph returned to Bethlehem, to their ancestral home, it's this sense in which the church is our sort of ancestral home, the place in which we were kind of begun or born. What does it mean by that? Well, of course, in baptism, when a child is baptized in a church, to some extent we speak about them having a spiritual birth, their spiritual rebirth. And so to some extent, that speaking of Mother Church was about speaking about the church that you had your spiritual birth in, and in which you had been mothered and nurtured and brought up. That's what ideally the church should be. And that's where you get Mothering Sunday. At some point, of course, back in the history of time, like last century, you know, which some of us here were born in, there was, I think it was in America, that some person said we should celebrate mothers in a more formal way, and so decided that there would be an actual Mother's Day. And of course, then Hallmark and many other card companies, there are other card companies exist, suddenly get in on the act, and it suddenly becomes a big thing. And now, of course, with the internet, Hallmark are really struggling, aren't they? Because I think Helen, we got four kids, and half of them sent a card. The others just WhatsApp. Because that's what you can do nowadays. And so it's kind of turned and twisted a bit. But it seems to me not a bad thing. We should celebrate not only the sense in which the church should be a safe place and a nurturing place as a whole, but also actually we have a specific person and people who nurture and support us and who love us. My own mum was a fabulous mum. Her own background and upbringing had been difficult, and her own sort of given personality was kind of a struggle for her. So my mum wasn't someone who was kind of warm and cuddly particularly, and certainly I don't ever recall my mum, except on an occasion, almost as a mistake, saying to me that she loved me. Because what used to happen was I used to finish a phone call and with my mum and my dad. It was always a lot of fun, and Helen used to find it funny too. At the end of the phone conversation, I'd say, "I love you, mum," or "I love you, dad," and neither of them would know what to do with that. So they would just kind of go, "Uh-huh," and then hang up. And on one occasion, my mum almost forgot herself, and she said, "I love you," and then kind of went, "Oh, I don't know what I just did then." Now, can I please say, my mum and dad, I genuinely love them, and they loved me, and they genuinely did. Being able to say it wasn't something that was natural or easy for them because of their own background and own experience, but I know that they loved me. And mums, ideally, we know good mums love us and pour out themselves for us. Now, in the story this morning, we had this woman who comes to Jesus and who brings an alabaster jar full of perfume. Now, the alabaster jar in itself is worth a fair bit of money. It would have been, alabaster is a kind of soft, very soft stone, almost like a kind of soapstone sort of stuff. And therefore, it's very easy to carve, and it would be taken and used. And it was a precious thing. You would hollow it out in order to store stuff in it, and then you would carve the outside beautifully. You might make a lid for it, or there might be some sort of stopper that you put in it. And almost certainly there would have been a lid or a stopper on this jar. It wouldn't have been a sealed thing in the sense that, you know, like a piggy bank. You know, the old-fashioned piggy banks used to stick your money in it, and then in order to get to it, you'd break it. Only nowadays, of course, they put the rubber stopper on the bottom so you can just peel it open and then reuse the thing. But So with the alabaster jar, there would have been a top or a stopper to it. And this woman turns up to Jesus with this perfume that itself is worth at least a year's wages, so we're told, inside a jar that is worth money. And instead of just taking the lid off and going, there you go, we're done, you know, or just dipping a finger in and just, you know, just splashing a bit on Jesus' head, she breaks the jar. She didn't drop it. It's a deliberate act of going, you know, I want this to be so utterly given over to you that it's going to be irrecoverable, irreparable. And I'm going to give the lot to you. It's so important to me that I do this act of extraordinary generosity, an extraordinary love, an act of worship, of giving worth to Jesus, so much worth. And there's a little tension that goes on in the room because people are going, well, that is just, I mean, that's beautiful and it smells fantastic, but what a waste. I mean, what a waste. I don't know how many of you like the window. How many people here like this window? By the way, you all have to put your hands up. No, you don't have to like the window. But you could say about something like a window in a church, you kind of go, well, that is beautiful, but isn't it a waste? Can we have spent the money on something far more useful? The interesting thing about Jesus is Jesus responds and goes, actually, you know, don't criticize this woman. This is an act of love and worship. And actually, love and worship is costly. To love someone, mothers know, all of us know, that to love someone is a costly business. It's a sacrificial work to love somebody, to give something of ourselves to somebody else to bless them. And this woman gives not just a little, but a lot. It's a little bit like, actually, the story we did 2 or 3 weeks ago when we had the widow who gave the 2 coins. And what is remarkable about this story, we're not spending long on this morning because we're privileged enough to have the kids with us today. But what's so beautiful for me about this story is that almost certainly the couple of days later when Jesus was hanging on the cross, that smell of that perfume still hung on it. It would have been poured over his hair. And, you know, they didn't shower every day like many of us do. He would have still smelt of that perfume a couple of days later, even as he was dying. Such an extraordinary act of love. It was broken, smashed, so that all that perfume could come out and just bless and anoint Jesus. And Jesus on the cross is taken and his body is broken. He is broken open. And that blood that flowed out upon the cross, that flowed out of him, is like that same act of love and of sacrifice for you and for me. It's what Jesus does for us, the same as that woman did for him. It's replicated upon the cross as Jesus pours out himself for us. How much does Jesus love us? He loves us this much. He stretches out his arms for us and gives himself for us. Don't underestimate how valuable you are to Jesus. And don't underestimate his love for you. And the challenge for us that I want to give us today is how much do we love? How much do we love? There's a challenge, isn't there, about how much we love each other, what our human love looks like. Sometimes we manipulate in love, don't we? You get that sort of comment where someone says, well, if you loved me, you would do this. It's not how real love works, is it? But love is definitely a sacrifice. This woman sacrificed and gave so much. Jesus sacrifices himself for us and gives everything for us. What is my response in love to Jesus? As we think about the love that our mothers have for us and what they gave for us, let's think about the love that God has for us and gave for us. And think about what kind of love we're going to have for God and for each other. Whether there's things in us that need to be broken open so that actually something that smells sweet can come out, something beautiful can arise. I want to encourage us to think about that. We're in Lent at the moment, and Lent is often a time, supposed to be a time of reflection and just thinking about how do I respond to God? A time of opportunity to kind of reset and to think again. And I want to encourage us to be thinking about what it is that we give, how much it is that we give. Let's pray now, shall we? Let's talk to God. Father, we thank you for those who have given so much for us that we might have life. We think about those who have parented and cared for us. We thank you today for our mothers in particular. But we thank you also for others, for our fathers, maybe aunts, uncles, maybe guardians, maybe even teachers, for those who have nurtured us, maybe, and I hope, the church. And Christians, disciples of you who have given themselves to help us become disciples ourselves. Lord, and thank you most of all for your sacrifice of yourself upon the cross. Help us as we come to communion in a little while to be able to receive your love. And Lord, as we come with open hands to be able to respond with our love, our worship, our sacrifice to you. Lord, be at work in us by your Spirit, that we might know your love and respond in love for your glory's sake. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Matt.